On a cold spring Monday afternoon in 1955, Michael Corleone summoned Nick Geraci to meet him in Brooklyn. As the new Don entered his late father's house on Long Island to make the call, two men dressed like grease monkeys watched a television puppet show, waiting for Michael's betrayer to deliver him and marveling at the tits of the corn-fed blonde puppeteer. Michael, alone, walked into the raised corner room his late father had used as an office. He sat behind the little roll-top desk that had been Tom Hagen's, the consigliere's desk. Michael would have called from home. Kay and the kids had left this morning to visit her folks in New Hampshire, except that his phone was tapped. So was the other line in this house. He kept them that way, to mislead listeners. But the inventive wiring that led to the phone in this office and the chain of bribes that protected it could have thwarted an army of cops. Michael dialed. He had no address book, just a knack for remembering numbers. The house was quiet. His mother was in Las Vegas with his sister Connie and her kids. On the second ring, Geraci's wife answered. He barely knew her but greeted her by name, Charlotte, and asked about her daughters. Michael avoided the phone in general and had never before called Geraci at home. Ordinarily, orders were buffered, three men deep, to ensure that nothing could be traced to the Don. Charlotte gave quavering answers to Michael's polite questions and went to get her husband. Nick Geraci had already put in a long day. Two heroin-bearing ships, neither of which was supposed to arrive from Sicily until next week, had shown up late last night, one in New Jersey, the other in Jacksonville. A lesser man would be in prison now, but Geraci had smoothed things over by hand-delivering a cash donation to the pension fund of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, whose men in Florida had performed like champs, and by paying a visit and a sizable tribute to the Strachey family capo who controlled the docks in North Jersey. By 5, Geraci was exhausted, but home in his backyard in East Islip, playing horseshoes with his two girls. A 2-volume history of Roman warfare he'd just started reading sat next to the armchair in his den, in position for later that night. When the phone rang, Geraci was a few sips into his second shivers and water. He had T-bone sizzling on his barbecue pit and a Dodgers-Phillies doubleheader on the radio. Charlotte, who'd been in the kitchen assembling the rest of the meal, came out on the patio, carrying the phone with the long cord, her face drained of color. "Hello, Fausto." The only other person who called Nick Geraci by his given name was Vincent Forlenza, who stood as Geraci's godfather in Cleveland. "I'd like you to be part of this thing Tessio arranged. 7 o'clock, at this place called Two Toms. Do you know it?" "Sure," Geraci said. "I eat there all the time." It was a test. He was either supposed to ask about this thing Tessio arranged, or he wasn't. Geraci had always been good at tests. His gut feeling was to be honest. "But I have no idea what you're talking about. What thing?" "Some important people are coming from Staten Island to sort things out." Staten Island meant the Barzinis, who had that place sewn up. But if Tessio had set up peace talks with Michael and Don Barzini, why was Geraci hearing it from Michael and not Tessio? Geraci stared at the flames in his barbecue pit. Then it came to him, what must have happened. He jerked his head and silently cursed. Tessio was dead, probably among many others. The meeting place was the tip-off. Tessio loved that place, which meant that most likely he'd contacted Barzini himself and that either he or Barzini had set up a hit on Michael, which Michael had somehow anticipated. Geraci poked the T-bones with a long steel spatula. "You want me there for protection, or at the table, or what?" That was a hell of a long pause. "Sorry, I had to get some steaks off the grill here." "I know what you're worried about, Fausto, but not why." Geraci sighed. "Even in the best of times, I'm a worrier, so shoot me." "That's why you're so good," Michael said. "The worrying. It's why I like you." An hour later, Geraci arrived at Two Toms with 4 of his men and positioned them outside. He took a seat alone and sipped an espresso. He wasn't afraid. Michael Corleone, unlike his brothers, the brutish Sonny and the pathetic Fredo, had inherited the old man's deliberate nature.